Hello, this is Annie Rutherford at Far Off Places. Hello? I'm sorry, I can't hear you. Ah, okay, there you are. Oh, hello, how are you doing? Well, of course, you'll be wanting the next instalment of our second issue, The Back of Beyond, won't you? Well, be warned, this is a fraught episode, filled with, well, not quite lions and tigers and bears, but certainly, leopards and orange mints and pebbles that get stuck in your shoe. Anyway, this is A Stroll Amongst Equals by Pallavi Rao, read by my fellow Far Off Places editor and mischief maker, Kara Sashton. Can you hear okay? Well, tighten your seatbelts. We're in for a bumpy ride.
A Stroll Amongst Equals. There are two things you should know when facing down a leopard. One, don't run. Two, don't run. And three, which I know I didn't mention earlier, but I'm going to list anyway, because facing down a leopard does strange things to structured thoughts. Don't think of that crazy friend of yours who calls leopards Leo after that Titanic heartthrob, Pard. You know, like Pard, as though he's been on first-name basis with these dark-spotted, sandy-haired, long-tailed, and entirely too sharp clawed animals since they were in diapers. But, since I'm thinking about the friend anyway, and the leopard doesn't seem to be very intent on moving, I'll be so kind as to fill you in on the situation. To begin in the middle, because I don't think I'll have time to finish if I start from the beginning. A cool, grey morning had crept up on the valley my grandparents' house overlooked. A cool, grey morning had drifted in through the doors and woken the pet dog. Said dog, and cool, grey morning, had tiptoed into my room and poked me awake, aiming for that one hapless toe not covered by the blanket. A stumbling, toe-stubbing, wrestling head through sleeves half-hour later, and dog, cool, grey morning, and I were abound in the hills for a nice, crisp walk. Or so had been the plan. I have time, though. We'll get to the second act in a bit. For detail's sake, my pockets contained a little container of orange-flavoured mints, a half-squashed toffee that had melted into the lining of the cloth, and one of those clickety-click pencils which are a pain to constantly fill. Morning walk commenced in all its poetic glory, and in my head I was mentally thankful for not being accompanied by those strange family members who were so fascinated by flowers and birds and bees and all things nature. Me? I was simply spending quality time with dog. Dog ran away to go chase some wild chickens. Continuing on alone and ruminating on the various inequalities in life, like why some hills got to be taller than others, and why the hill I was on had to be taller than the others, I trampled over some bright pink flowers, tripped over a wayward bunch of pebbles, and fell into the field below, knocking my head, in a rather cinematic moment, against a tree trunk crawling with ants. Skip ahead a few choice curses and much brushing of clothes, because this leopard's looking a little shifty. I was just on the verge of doing the whole shaking fist at the sky gesture when out of the corner of my bleary eye, I spotted it. A deer, roughly the size of two dogs, one on top of the other. The colour of mud, and with eyes more liquid than water, sniffing around on the grounds for fallen apples or whatever ridiculous things these herbivore denizens partake in to fill their perfume-making bellies. How it had missed my trampling, falling and knocking was beyond me. On my part, I regarded it with mild disdain for its rather uncouth manners and picked myself up to be on my way. And that was when the second it came, loping out of the dense grass with all of the grace of an assured winner. A short word on the layout of all the players. The deer stood by the stream's edge, eating grass, I presume. The leopard was behind it, moving in to make a kill or conversation, I'm not quite acquainted with its habits. And I was somewhat between them, but further up, just beneath the shadow of the ant tree. Also, I'd managed to get a stone in my shoe. Moving on. Leopard paused, just behind the fringe of the dense grass it had all but ambled out of, gazing fixedly at the deer. The deer had its head down like the good little bottom of the food chain type it was, and I, very much the dangerous human, crouched under the ant tree, quavering in my shoes and repressing a sudden urge to offer them toffee and a truce. Before I had time to formulate an escape plan, or come up with a good conversation opener, you know, that was the second its thing, the wind must have changed, because the deer stopped its munching, straightened up, and stared right at me. Huh. Weren't expecting that, were you? Neither was I. Which explains why I did the stupidest thing in my entire life. I waved. The movement caught Leopard's eye, and his yellow gaze moved to me. Which brings us to now. A three-way standoff between useless herbivore, terrifyingly dark-spotted, sandy-haired, long-tailed, entirely too sharp-clawed cat, and me, the stoic, immovable pillar of strength and ingenuity, armed with orange mints? The cool, grey morning stilled around us. The stream turned its chatter into a murmur, and even the ants stopped their mindless scurrying. The entire world paused to take another look at the royal rumble. Fighting with myself to reach for the clickety-click pencil and wondering, in a vague sort of manner, how long it would take my strange family to find my body, I barely registered the faint crashing noise coming from a little ways beyond. The two its didn't. They turned their heads as one, and I, being the superbly trained intellectual that I am, reached for my potential weapon, the pencil, and instead only managed to smear toffee all over my hands. The earth trembled at my bravery. The crashing grew louder. Both animals tensed to move, and the one human tossed a mint into her mouth in a defiant gesture. You know, in a petrified, helpless sort of way. Just as I was convinced a second leopard, anyone, was about to enter, stage left, the grass parted, and out came, half panting and carrying a dead chicken in its mouth, Dog. Dog, being the admirably stupid being that he was, barked at me, probably asking for some sort of recognition for his hunting prowess. The dead chicken fell out, the deer shied away, and Leopard pounced. As for me, I ran, fast, like the wind whizzed right along. Something the size and weight of a small elephant smacked into my back and sent me off the side of the path, tumbling down the slope. I did the whole head-over-heels nonsense for a bit, swallowed a mouthful of mud, lost my mints, broke my pencil, and landed, rather grandly, in the stream. Many minutes later, after the curious fish nuzzling my ears convinced me I wasn't dead after all, I sat up to find Dog sitting by the bank, dead chicken at its feet. The two its were nowhere to be seen, and the only mark of the face-off turned out to be a couple of uprooted saplings further up the hill. I contemplated life for a while, then reached over and took out that irritating stone.
Pallavi usually spends her days thinking up various scenarios as a superhero, JLA membership card pending approval, while learning to count cards, 21 style. In between that, she's also known to occasionally burn toast, walk the dog, and get into ridiculously long Monopoly games with fellow like-minded procrastinators. Her pro tip for succeeding at life? Not buying Oxford Street. It just isn't worth it. I love that story. Isn't it fantastic? Could you hear it okay? The line didn't go fuzzy. Oh, that's good. Do you know, one of the many wonderful things about Power of Places is getting to know our authors, because we have some amazing, beautiful, talented people out there. And Pallavi is extra exciting, talented, beautiful, because she always sends us jokes. Here's an extract from one of her emails to us. Warning, if you don't like bad humour, you might want to cover your ears. What's yellow and looks like a bucket? A yellow bucket. What's black and looks like a yellow bucket? The shadow of a yellow bucket. Still with me? Awesome. What's white and looks like the shadow of a yellow bucket? The ghost of the yellow bucket. Having the time of my life. I know! Isn't she amazing? We like her a lot. Anyway, sadly, Pallavi lives across the pond. But we do have a reading with some of our more Edinburgh-based writers coming up. That's on the 12th of September, so if you're in the Lothian area, then do come to the Meadows Bar on Causeway Side in Edinburgh at 7:30 this Thursday coming, and you will hear some amazing stories and poetry and probably a few bad jokes. And there'll also be a bit of a storytelling shindig at the end, so if you've got any folk tales up your sleeve or anything you'd like to share with us, then we'd love to hear it. Otherwise, what news do we have for you? Issue 1 and 2 are, as always, available on our website, faroffplaces.org, and the wonderful Beth is currently working on the layout for issue 3. Not excited about that at all. You should be, actually. You should be scared. It's a Halloween edition, so there are lots of ghouls and ghosts and things that go bump in the night, and some really, really beautiful work in there. We've got lots of illustrations in it as well, which we're super pleased about. I think it'll be the issue with the most illustrations so far, so if you're an art lover, you should definitely get your hands on a copy when it comes out, which will be in the next few weeks. And otherwise, do you not find that? You're on the phone and you know there's something you want to tell someone and it's gone. But this is why we have new technology, and get us, we're super technological. We're good at that stuff, we are. So when I remember it, I will tweet it at Fire of Places and write it on Facebook, and you can find us on the Fire of Places page. Right, I think that's enough from me. What are you doing? You haven't really told me what's going on with you. Okay, well look, let me get a cup of coffee and you can tell me all about it. Okay? Back in one sec. Bye!